You're listening to the Confidence Podcast, your one-stop shop for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action on your dreams. I'm your host, Trish Blackwell, and I teach entrepreneurs and dream chasers to take action on the dream God put on their hearts. I empower go-getters to get past their stubborn insecurities so they can crush their goals, outgrow their fears, and create prosperity in their businesses and lives. It's time to rise and shine. Let's dive deep. You guys, we are diving deep today on how to be happy at where you're at. So not the sexiest topic, because the reality is that I think just about everybody struggles with this worrying if we're behind or feeling like we're behind or thinking we're not as far as where we should be, or maybe we're doing the wrong thing. And this constant self-questioning, constant self-realignment, constantly wondering if in fact we have the right to be happy. We have if we indeed have permission to say, I'm doing enough and this is okay, and that this is beautiful and that this is great, and that you can let go of that sigh of relief and release the anxiety that's built up, that's waiting for you to achieve one thing or another in order to be happy and to give yourself permission to be happy. And so specifically in the show, you guys know I like to give you a heads up. Here's what we're going to be covering. This is episode number 289. You can get all the show notes at trishblackwell.com/289. We're going to be talking about how to stop comparing yourself to where you think you should be. We're going to talk about putting yourself into triage for support for being a self-abuser, because you guys, let's call a spade, often we disguise quote unquote being hard on ourselves, or, oh, I just have high expectations, or, oh, I'm just a perfectionist, as justifications of what is actually self-abuse and doesn't work. And abuse is bad. Like, I don't care what you believe in politically or where you stand on faith or your belief system. I think everyone pretty universally can agree that abuse is bad. So why is it that okay? Why is it then that we allow self-abuse to continue and to happen? And then finally, we're going to be talking about how to figure out what you really want in life and what will really fill you with happiness, and then how to go get that. Before we dive in, I do want to give a quick welcome to all my Keep the Faith listeners out there. You guys, thank you for being a part of this extended community of contagious encouragement. And you guys, this podcast is sponsored in part today by my newest program, The Donut Diet. It's time to stand up to the bully of shame around food and to feel confident in your body. You deserve to taste the sweetness of that life and food have to offer. And what the Donut Diet is, a 6-week self-moderated, self-run program where I'm available to you to help you really find freedom from some of the talk around food that you might be battling, that causes you to overeat at night, causes you to binge eat, makes you feel like you're constantly thinking about calories or your workouts. If you're stuck in a loop of emotional eating in any capacity, then the Donut Diet is for you. And it is not a diet. It is not about restriction. It is about learning how to eat intuitively if you're somebody that's always overthought the food. So it's coming from my own firsthand experience, and I would love for you to be done with emotional eating for good, to be done with the self-abuse around food and your body for good. And you can do that by getting started now at thedonutdiet.com. That's spelled thedonutdiet.com. So let's talk, guys. Let's dive in together on this concept of thinking that we should be farther along than we really are. And the funny thing is we kind of have to start and ask ourselves, where do we get that notion? And I was recently chatting with one of my one-on-one clients, and we were talking about the pressure that starts as young as middle school, sometimes in elementary school, that we receive as children growing up and being told that the next step is this, or that, and that we should strive to achieve certain marks. And while in many ways that's a very good thing, I think we spend a lot of our young adolescence and growing into early adulthood being sort of in competition with the world and feeling like there's a true scarcity to success, rather than really believing that what we have to offer can be success, and that the definition of success that we are being handed to by society is not necessarily the definition of success. And so I think what I wanted to start off, and I have a firsthand example I'm going to share with you guys today that really helped me come full circle in this. But before I get to that, to really stop comparing yourself to where you think you should be. There are a few things that have helped me and helped a lot of my clients and a lot of my members of the College of Confidence. And that is to first and foremost challenge your pre-existing definition of success. That was something that I mean, it has taken me about 10 years to challenge, and I'm still having to work through it because I still find myself getting caught into a objective measurement of success. And while there's nothing wrong with wanting to measure your success, I really actually believe we should be tracking our wins and tracking our success and pushing ourselves to the next financial savings goal or business, revenue stream that we want to create and getting faster at whatever, you know, distance of run racing you like to do. I am all about progression, but it's when the ultimate result of being successful and having the right to be proud of ourselves is only attached to the outcome, that's when it becomes a problem. And I think often, too often, we attach it to an outcome that really doesn't even exist because the outcome keeps changing, that finish line keeps moving. And so one of the things that's helped me significantly in being happy where I am on my journey is to challenge my pre-existing definitions of success. And then in doing that, I had to then ask myself, well, what is it that I really want? How do I get clarity on what I actually do want in life, on what is beautiful and what fills my soul and makes me feel alive and makes me feel engaged and connected and enough and understood and part of and contributing, all of these basic human needs that God has built into us. When that is connected with the source of all things, then we get that feeling of just existing and thriving. And so for me, I had to figure out, well, how do I get that feeling more often? And what does it feel like? And what does it look like? And to do that, I had to do sort of a perspective shift to get a larger lens. And what I mean by a larger lens is looking back and not being so, I'm such a focused person, and naturally, like, my personality, y'all, is hyper focus, hyper achieving. I like checking things off the list. I like to be the best. I like to be competitive. I like to push myself. But those get me so narrowly focused on what I think makes me happy. And what I've found is I've been able to much more enjoy my journey, be happy with where I'm at while still yearning to continue to grow. Let me be clear. I am in no way saying that we settle. I'm saying, how do we find contentment and still strive to grow? And that was a perspective shift to a larger lens. I had to sort of go wider scope, sort of that wide eye camera lens. And what that does is it gives me this perspective shift, because I often still get stuck in a loop or invited back into old thinking and old patterns, because those were thought patterns that I grooved deep grooves on for decades. And so when I find myself getting too hyper-focused on attaching my happiness or my success to a specific outcome, that's when I know I need to pull back and look at the big picture of things and remind myself of what matters and remind myself of my purpose and my mission. And that's a question to ask yourself. What is it that really matters to you? And I think the final thing that's really helped me stop comparing myself to be where I think I should be is gratitude, is thanking God that I am not where I used to be, and being patient and thanking Him with confidence to know that He will carry me to where I need to be. That there is a reason I'm still where I am, for whatever reason, right? That's good and for bad, because there's certainly certain areas in my life where I feel stuck or I feel plateaued or I wish that my progress was at a more progressive rate than I wanted it to be. But I have to remind myself that that's not what matters. What matters is I am where I am, and that's okay. And that comparing myself to where I wish I was does me no service. It actually does me the disservice of removing me from being present in the moment. It steals from me the opportunity to make the present better, which is often why we get stuck in a plateau anyways of self-sabotage. So I think there was this opening of the gates when I realized and I started telling myself, and it wasn't natural, you guys, but when I say, oh, I just started telling myself this, I want you to know that it feels weird. When you start speaking truth to yourself, especially truth from God, it's going to feel awkward and weird and icky and untrue. But repetition over time becomes mastery, and you will start to recognize these things, and they will start replacing old thoughts that were toxic and untrue. And so I had to start really dwelling on the fact and the truth that I'm enough right now, today, because God says I am. So as an entrepreneur, as a mompreneur, as somebody who feels like I have a great deep passion on my heart and a calling in my soul to make a difference in this world and in helping other people unlock their confidence and their courage so that they can then live out their fullest purpose and that we together we can make this world a better place of God's light and love, right? That's my big mission, you guys. That fires me up, and then sometimes it crushes me. It crushes me because I wish I was doing more than I am, right? I can put pressure on myself for saying, well, I could have done that, and what if I did this? And you know what that does is it removes me from being a mom. Like, I still have to be a mom, and I not have to be, but I get to be. And that it's very easy to take sometimes what is our greatest blessing, this passion, right? This drive, this calling, it can then sometimes become our something that can crush us. Because then we put this arbitrary timeline of, well, I should be further along and I've been working at this business for blah, blah, blah. And I should have 1 million downloads every single episode instead of the blank, you know, should I? Says who? And I think there's something powerful to start talking back to yourself. If you struggle with comparing yourself to yourself, I want you to start saying, says who? How about I'm just where I am? And that especially when it comes to the purpose question, we can be really altruistic and say, yeah, but I want to be serving the world more and I should be living more in my passion and I keep sabotaging. How about the fact that God can work through our mess no matter where we are or what we do? And so that gives me confidence to say, keep pushing, Trish, but also breathe well and with peace in your heart to say God's going to use you today how he will, period. It's not up to me. The outcome is less about me, my responsibility is to show up. And so that by shifting my definition of success on my journey has changed. And I think that's probably the most transformational part of this was deciding to say the outcome isn't the success. It's the showing up that is. For me, showing up every day is success. Showing up, showing up, showing up, and detaching myself from the results, that is success. And that's really hard coming from somebody who like loves measuring success, loves measuring up, loves getting faster every marathon, loves, you know, tracking and loves goals and loves competition. And the reality is that that's good in many scenarios, but there's a point, especially in my personality, that it stole happiness from me. It stole my ability to be present and it stole my ability to be happy with where I am on the journey. And so what I wanted to share with you, one story, and I've teased this a little bit in social media. If you guys hang out with me on Instagram, you saw this post, and also on Facebook. And by the way, Instagram, I'm at Trish_Blackwell. And on Facebook, I am facebook.com/Trish Blackwell Fitness, because Trish Blackwell was already taken. So 2 weeks ago, I ran the Chicago Marathon. And here's the deal, you guys. I went in with a goal. First, if you're not a runner, you may not know this, but the Chicago Marathon is an amazing course. It's really competitive to get into. There's always a lottery system or time qualification, and they accept it's just, why is it so popular? Well, because Chicago's an amazing city, first off, obviously. Secondly, because it's a flat course in the fall, which means cool weather. So typically you're going to run your best when the weather is cool and when the course has no hills. So it's a course that is known to have some of the fastest times out there. So for a runner who's competitive with themselves and they want a PR, that's a place you go. So I've had this marathon on the docket for myself for years, and it, you know, finally remember to sign up at the right time, and I got in and I waited a year and I trained hard and I have a goal. Like, I went in with a goal, and my goal was to run a sub 3:10. And I was on it. Like, I started the race in total victory. The first 10 miles, rocking my pace, just comfortable seven minute, 10 second miles, just cruising. And you guys, it felt effortless. It was what I had trained for. And what's even cooler is, but the story that I shared on social media was that this is really, and I had positioned myself and I told myself, this is your victory lap. 10 years prior, I had lived in Chicago. And part of my story is, and many of you have heard it, but you might not have known that it happened in Chicago, is that I left Chicago 10 years prior and I hadn't been back to the city since. and I left Chicago, I basically had to have the ring ripped off my finger. I was engaged to somebody who was toxic and abusive. I was broke, in debt tens of thousands of dollars to my parents because I had sold everything and given all my money to this person. And I was hopeless. I literally didn't know who I was, didn't have any hope, didn't have, I mean, literally just hopeless. And so to come back 10 years later with having married the man of my dreams, being financially independent and free, having two beautiful children, written three books, built my dream business from scratch, really feeling like I'm in the flow and passion, and even cooler, you guys, the marathon course actually went past my old apartment. So there was this point where it was just absolutely total victory lap. And before the marathon, I said, all right, you have a time goal, and that's awesome. But like, Trish, the real goal is the victory lap. The real goal is to have fun. The real goal is to remember what you actually preach and what you know you believe, that it doesn't matter how fast or how slow you run that marathon. What matters is what you learn from the marathon. And one of the things I love the most about running is how it positions me to brokenness. It breaks you down, especially a marathon, breaks you down to a point where your mind has to be the strong part, that your mind pushes you to a place that you didn't think you could ever go. When your body is breaking down and you're not sure if you're like, if you might just need to be taken out on a stretcher or not, somehow your feet keep stepping in front of another. And guys, I'm not just saying for like a couple hundred yards, I'm saying for miles this goes on. And you think, my God, if I'm doing what I feel like is impossible to me right now, and my body's so broken, I am cramping everywhere, but I'm still moving forward, then what do I feel like is stuck in my life that I'm not moving forward, that I actually should be, that I can be? So that the mind can do immeasurably more than we think it can. And I got to this point about a little bit more than halfway through the race, around mile 17, 18. And y'all, I was in the pain cave. So my pace, like I said, I was a 7:10, I'm cruising. All of a sudden that creeps up to 7:20, 7:30, 7:40. And the old thoughts, the old Trish would have said, come on. Like, and I would have started mentally self-abusing myself, to bully myself into saying, you should be doing better. You should be running faster. Come on, Trish, your pace is up there. Like, this is embarrassing. You've trained too hard. I mean, look, like that's the G-rated version. The stuff that I used to say to myself was not cool. And it's definitely not something I can say because this is a clean show. But, basically the self-abuse started of how disappointed and how I should be doing better and I should be faster. And what was so victorious for me, and the reason I'm sharing this story with you this will hopefully relate to whether or not you like to run, or maybe you absolutely hate running. You're still going to like this truth. Because there's a point where you can say in your life, I'm done with the self-abuse. And for me, I had a lot of self-abuse. And that, what I mean by self-abuse is I mean being a jerk to yourself. I mean mean internal self-talk. And this Chicago Marathon was my final true like activation of that, of when it really mattered. Because I put my foot down mentally and I said, I'm done with that kind of talk. I am not going to speak to myself that way. I'm not going to speak to my body, who at this point has been busting its butt for 2+ hours, running fast. And I'm going to bully it because it's not good enough. How about I celebrate it instead? How would I say, good job out of you. You know, you're not where I had hoped to be today, but man, you're doing amazing. And all I can hope for is to stay connected to you and to be grateful for you. And you guys, crazy things happened. All of a sudden, that pressure to be like, oh, I should be doing better. I should be further along. They all disappeared. And I was able to focus on the other runners and the other spectators. And you know what? I felt like I was going so slow. And I slowed down to like an 8:20 pace. Like, for how I felt, if you could have put yourself in my body and felt the pain, and I mean, calves cramping, quads cramping, Charlie horse pain, stitches in your ribs, like doubled over, my God, why do I run? I'm never running again, kind of like swear away like what you're doing forever, pain. That my body still carried me only about a minute off my goal pace. Like that, when I realized that was happening, all of a sudden my talk went to, What a gift. Man, damn, body, you're good. Like, it was the decision. What happened was the decision to say, I'm going to be happy with where I am on my journey. Because where I'm on my journey is where I'm at. And cool if it could have been faster, but cool if it could have been slower. Because you know what doesn't matter? There were 45,000 other runners out there. And there were hundreds, probably 100,000 to 200,000 spectators, even though it was raining. Do you think any of those spectators gave a lick how fast I was running? No. No, they cared that I kept going because that's what they were there to cheer for. Because there's greater strength in what really matters and how we define success. And in that race, for me, the greatest success of that race was deciding that I am definitely done with self-abuse. I'm definitely done with wishing I was further along where I wanted to be. And the race gave me such a great hands-on example to say, cool, it's awesome that you wish you were 10 minutes faster than you were right now, or 10 minutes further along in the course, or a mile further. But guess what, Trish? You're not. So stay in mile 20 if you're in mile 20. Stay where you're at, because mile 20 is a good mile to be, and that's where you are, and you're going to get to mile 21 if you keep on going. You're going to get to mile 22 if you keep on going. And eventually, if you just keep on going and stop worrying about what where you could have been, could have, would have, should have, and wasted all of that emotional energy, and instead use the emotional energy to keep yourself going and continue to celebrate and pat yourself on the back for showing up, because at this point, showing up is hard. But you are showing up, and you're putting one foot in front of the other, even though every step is painful. Damn straight. That's amazing. You will get to 26.2 and you will cross that finish line. And there was this empowering freedom that I got when I realized that the spectators don't care. They didn't care if I ran a 309 or a 319 or a 329. You could give two kicks if I ran a 259 or a 559. Does that have any bearing on me as a person? No. But it's so interesting that we get so attached to results sometimes. We define our success based on being faster, being skinnier, being more successful, having a bigger paycheck, nobody cares. You guys, that's not why you are valuable. It is not what makes life amazing. It is not success. And so it was the coolest thing is as I was coming full circle of truly embracing this, man, I'm happy on this journey. And this is the first time, you guys, in my life as an athlete, which I've been an athlete my whole life, the first time that in my life that I legitimately was proud of a non-PR, legitimately was proud of the fact that I couldn't walk for a couple of days, of knowing that I pushed myself to the absolute physical limit I had that day, and that I was authentically able to say that that was enough. And not only was that enough, but that was worth celebrating. That was worth being proud of. It wasn't it could have gone faster and I'm like, yeah, it was good for today, but I wish I'd gone fast. No, I said, I'm done. I'm done with the self-abuse. I'm done with the excuses. I'm done with the justifications. I'm ready to be a friend to myself. And I hope that you are too. And I hope that you know it starts with something as small as this. As small as standing up to the old bully and saying, I am where I need to be. It's cool. I mean, it's awesome. I have ambitions and I want to be further along than where I'm at, but that doesn't mean I can't be happy where I am. That's a good push goal. That's awesome. That gets me up in the morning. That gets me to do the things that scare me. But you also know at the end of the day that today was enough, that I am where I'm meant to be, that even though the hardest thing about personal growth is that you learn the information, but activating it takes weeks, months, years. And so then we can find ourselves in a cycle where we beat ourselves up for not knowing this. We go, well, I know better. Why am I still having a hard time? And then we wish we were farther along in our own personal development than we actually are. And here's the deal. We just got to be patient, you guys, and then celebrate that patience. And that is how you can be happy with where you are on your journey. And here's what the coolest thing was. I turned the corner. It's like mile 22. And at that point, I'm like, okay, like, you're loving this run. Every bit of your body feels like it's going to collapse and you just want to crawl in a hole from the pain. But I knew I had this mental breakthrough and I was proud of myself. And I was like, this is the journey. This is the joy in the journey. And I detached myself from the results because the success that I cared about what was going on in my mind. And there was somebody, you guys, I kid you not. And as a runner, I see lots of signs, lots of things that people hold up to encourage people. Right when I had finally let go of, I wish my pace was faster than it is. This is not the right pace. I'm off pace. This is not a pace. And once I let that go and detox myself from that, I saw a sign that said, forward is a pace. And I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. Forward is a pace. We get so worried and wrapped up in thinking I'm behind pace, I'm behind where I should be, I'm not doing enough, I'm not being enough, I'm not doing this, I wish I was further along. That's all about pace. That's all going, I wish I was going faster. I wish I was doing this thing that I'm doing just a little bit faster. So we're wishing that we had a faster pace rather than just saying, I'm on pace. I saw that sign and I said, I'm on pace. I basically checked myself, made sure I was moving forward. I was like, wait, I'm not standing still. Okay, check. I'm not moving backwards. Cool, check. I'm moving forward. I'm on pace. I'm on pace. Forward is a pace. Forward is the best pace. Forward is the only pace that matters. So stop telling yourself, stop beating yourself up and saying I'm off pace, because you're not. You're not. And so I want to transition to this concept of putting yourself in triage for self-abuse, because being a jerk to yourself really needs to come to a stop at some point, but it's up to you. It's you that has to make that change and make that shift. And I mean, you do it in small daily life examples like this, when you would typically beat yourself up over something and then you mentally put your foot down and go, wait, that's not what a friend would do. I'm supposed to be a friend to myself. I'm done with that. The old kind of being a jerk and self-abuse, because it doesn't work. So why not try something different? And for me, I had to go through that scenario. I had to ask myself, does this serve me? The self-abuse I'm engaging in, the perfectionism, the high standards, the beating myself up, the I'm just really hard on myself, right? All of that served me to some capacity. And I think I thought it served me because I thought it motivated me more. And the reality is that it demoralized me. It stifled my dreams. It made me hesitant to take action, and it made everything pretty damn miserable. And so you might be getting something from some of your self-talk. Maybe it's a false sense of effort or control. Maybe it's blame, excuses, pain, distraction. But it's important you ask yourself, is this serving me or not? Am I ready to move on? And I want to remind you that I'm just saying to yourself, I'm just hard on myself, or, oh no, I just have high expectations for myself, but not for anybody else. No, it's just on me. I'm just tough on myself. They're not justifiable anymore if you want to live a happy and fulfilled life of meaning. And there's a point, there was a breaking point. I basically had this breaking point where I went, success does not have to be chased. Like I believe my college confidence members know this. One of my favorite phrases in coaching to use is dream chasers, action takers. You're a dream chaser. You're an action taker. Because you are doing that, you're already successful. The success is not what we're chasing. The dream is part of it. The dream is growth. It's contribution. But that doesn't have to be measured to be successful. It's taking action in doing it is what is successful. And again, I want to remind you, when you're thinking about putting yourself in triage for self-abuse, it's just not okay. It's not cool to be a jerk to yourself anymore. I think that in the world of achievement, in the world of growth, in the world of increasing your paycheck and growing your business and getting the perfect body and all these things that are sold to us, I think there's something to be said that we convince ourselves to just be hard on yourself. Oh, good for you. You've got high standards. No, not good for you if it's stealing your happiness. Not good for you if it puts you in a loop of insecurity and self-doubt and never feeling good enough and always feel behind and never feel like you have enough time and always being in a state of scarcity. Uh-uh. Like, I'm just calling it. Like, let's just be quits with it. Let's go into detox for it. And then that leads me to, you go into detox for that. And then the question you need to ask yourself is, what is it that you actually want? My life shifted when I realized that I wanted meaning and happiness more than I wanted applause and praise. That I wanted happiness and I wanted to love the process of a marathon and the lessons I learned in a marathon more than I care about the time that I cross at the finish line. It's great to push myself. It's great. I'm going to go back to my next marathon that I do. You guys better believe that. I'm going to have a goal time. But the goal time is a guideline. Not the real goal. It's a guideline goal, not my real goal. The guideline goal gets me to a point where I can push myself. The real goal is to figure out who I am and who I become when I push myself. And so that said, I'm continually reevaluating my goals with money and with my business in order to stay in alignment with what I know I really want, because it's super easy to get pulled away and to chase some arbitrary measurement of success. I mean, super easy. And I want to remind you, success is a feeling. It's a decision that you make for yourself, not a measurement or evaluation given to you by somebody else. And the thing is, the reality is that success is not always measurable. So when you give yourself permission to feel it, it takes some time. It takes some getting used to. It's going to feel a little odd. So I want to encourage you to pull out your journal and ask yourself what your best days feel like. Think about the last time you felt successful, the last time you felt really good. Describe it. Write it down. What was it that set you up for that? What did it look like? What did it feel like when you went to bed? And now ask yourself, how can you recreate that feeling over and over? And I got to thank my husband for so much of this, because he has helped me slow down to realize what I care about are the things that connect my heart. You know, for me, success is the opposite of what I originally thought it would be. For me, it's kicking the status quo. It's being unapologetic for my truth and my beliefs and my love of God. It's being ridiculously me, like just saying I get to be me and I don't have to continue to try to impress people or be enough or worry about if I'm cool enough or pretty enough or smart enough. Like I'm enough, that I'm a child of God. That's it. That's successful, right? How awesome. I get to release myself from some of that pressure. It's also, for me, it's sitting with a book and laughing with loved ones, being present. One of the things that I feel the most alive with and most successful with is when I find the words that I'm looking for to describe my feelings and my thoughts. Because I'm a word person. I love words. I'm a writer. I'm drawn to them. For me also, it's success is having freedom. And that means time freedom, financial freedom, body freedom, self-expression freedom. And you can say, look, oh yeah, is one of my dreams to be so financially free that I can donate and give millions of dollars to this charity vision that I have, that I wanna eventually start on my own, and that I wanna have the time freedom to and financial freedom to, you know, take 5 years off of my family. Or retire my husband earlier. Yeah, absolutely. But does financial freedom start right now? Yeah, it's a mindset. It starts now. Like time freedom, I'm going to have more time freedom. But I'm going to celebrate the time freedom that I have now. Because what I have now is a gift, and it's enough. And it's enough. And I'm happy with where I am on my journey. I think there's something really empowering and freeing, even if you're today, your biggest takeaway is that your mantra is going to say, I'm happy with where I am, because where I am is where I need to be. And God will take me the next step. God will take me the next step. Forward is a pace. And I think there's another way to step into success and into the feeling of success is to decide to start seeing yourself as successful. Give yourself, and how do you do that? You do that by giving yourself opportunity to be uncomfortable, because we get to a state of success when we get out of our comfort zone. And that might be just emotionally, it might be physically, it might be in your professional life. And another way to practice seeing yourself as successful is to keep your champagne moments journal. Track your wins. I call them champagne moments with my College of Confidence and in the donut diet, because they're wins that they're worthy of popping champagne for. And I mean big wins and small wins. Maybe you made 10 grand today, or maybe your champagne moment was one of the ones I just had. I just walked my dog, and it's this awesome fall weather, and the wind was blowing and the leaves were blowing, and we saw some deer. And my champagne moment was because I got outside the old me would have said, you need to maximize every second. No, I don't. I've got more than enough time. So my champagne moment was celebrating me controlling the abundance of time that I have by controlling my mindset. So champagne moments journal, if you're not yet doing that, do it. You can even just track it in your phone if you want. And then expect the best. I want you to be successful. I want you to expect the best. Expect that you're going to do your best. Not to be confused with having high expectations. Just expect the best. Expect the best for your efforts. Expect the best for yourself. Expect your best, the best of yourself. And be okay when you just go, I'm going to put it all out there and I did my best. Awesome. Hey, did it not work out ideally how I wanted it? Okay. Where's the lesson? What do I need to learn? How do I celebrate? How do I then take the next step and do it again? And push yourself to believe that life is beautiful and to live it beautifully. And you want, when we talk about pushing yourselves and falling down, is we got to expect that we're going to have failures, and to embrace them and chase those. Because it's not about how many times you fall. It's about how quickly you get up when you fall. That's what matters. Not that you fall, just were you quick? Did you get back up? Or did you sit in it and feel sorry for yourself and beat yourself up and get back to self-abuse. No, that's not you anymore. I know that. It's not you anymore. So I hope that you embrace this concept today, that forward is a pace and that you are where you need to be. And because of that, you get to be happy with where you are on your journey. Two quick announcements before we dive to the listener of the episode. I want to actually make an announcement that my Mom Boss Mastermind, which is my 2019 mastermind that we're going to be having, it's a year-long commitment for my mompreneurs out there. If you are looking to double your income and double your free time, you want more financial abundance and more time abundance, this is the mastermind for you. There's only going to be 8 people. It's going to be intimate. We're going to have retreats. It's going to be like my favorite thing that I'm doing this next year. I've extended the application through November, so it's not too late. Get your name on the list. I'll shoot you over some questions. There's no obligation if you get selected. If for some reason financially it's not the right fit for you, I absolutely understand. But do yourself a favor and apply. My business and my life, the quality of my life changed when I started investing in myself and in coaches. And then finally, you guys, I gotta remind you, the donut diet is not gonna be available for long. It's going to be going bye-bye very soon, and you do not want to miss it. It's a solution to dieting. It's not a diet at all. In fact, it's a mental, emotional, and physical reset program that has the power to free someone from the yo-yo diet pendulum for good. The donut diet is your answer to understanding how to stop turning to food for comfort and how to finally learn to have a happy and healthy relationship with foods of all types. It's a process to teach you how to self-trust around food and around fitness again in your life. It is my signature program that I've spent this entire year putting together with my heart and soul, because this is the program that when I was stuck in disordered eating and compulsive exercise and binge eating and overeating at night, when I was stuck and feeling controlled by food, this is the program that I would have wanted. This is the program that would have helped me be free sooner. And so I put a lot of heart and love labor into this to make this a solution that really works. And I'm gonna tell you what, if you give it a try and it's not for you, within 30 days, you let me know. I'm happy to refund you your money. I want to make this a no risk and no obligation. And I want you to be able to give yourself a chance, a fighting chance to be free from the anxiety and pressure of dieting and worrying about food in your life, to be free from beating yourself up, to be free from the self-abuse, the conversations that are happening around food and around whether or not you got your workout in today. I want that freedom for you. And you can get it started at thedonutdiet.com. That's thedonutdiet.com. Okay, now my favorite part of the show. Our listener of the week is somebody who has reached out on Instagram, and she is the sweetest. It's Lynn's Amanda, and I hope she's fallen over now. I hope that you're like, what? No. But girl, you deserve to be listener of the week because you sent me an awesome message and you said, hey, Trish, I just wanted to send you a quick message to let you know that you are truly inspiring. I followed you for years and I thank you for all of the positivity and empowerment that you bring to my newsfeed. Thank you for being you and sharing your stories with the world. I saw you once at the Reston Town Center, but was too nervous to talk to you. You were with your beautiful family and looked super happy. Congratulations on all your success, and I look forward to seeing what is to come. And girl, you already saw I messaged you back. I said, thank you for that sweet message. And I also said what I'm going to say here. Y'all, if you ever see me in public, stop me. Please, please hug me. I when I say you guys are family, when you are my community, you are my people, like you don't get it. Like I really mean that. And you are never going to be inconveniencing me. You might get like a deer in the headlight look like for just a half second, and then I'll be like, oh, right, yeah. So please, 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 I love hugs. I love high fives, and I would love to send some your way. So please reach out if you ever see me. Hug me, high five me. Let me know you're part of the tribe. Cause I don't get the gift of getting to see you. I show up every day to my recording studio every week, years on end, and we're connected, and it matters to me that I get to get the opportunity to know you too. So sending you guys love, girl. I'm so happy that we are obviously somewhat local. So hopefully I will see you and we will have this opportunity. And you guys, I'm looking forward to potentially some live opportunities coming in 2019. So stay posted. But the best way to guarantee that you get in on those is to check out the Mom Boss Mastermind, which I just realized I didn't tell you where to get the info. Shoot me an email if you're interested. My email is trish@trishblackwell.com, or you can go to trishblackwell.com/mastermind for more information. Guys, with that said, you're doing better than you think you are. And it's time to let go of the falsity that you're behind. You are where you need to be. You're not where you used to be. So applaud that and trust that God will carry you to your next place. And then your job is just to keep showing up and live in the state of success that is today. Now go out there. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free. Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you loved the show, let me know by writing a review on iTunes and by connecting with me on the gram at @trish_blackwell. You can take your confidence to the next level for free by downloading my detox devotional. The detox devotional is 5 days of 5-minute devotions to inspire joy, infuse you with confidence, and help you own the truth that God loves you deeply. Now be more, be free, be you, and be here for next week's show. I'll see you then.